Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for opening the door to the Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are our Lord and you are our Savior. We thank you today, God. We thank you for your healing balm, God. We thank you that if there's anything, anything that we need, Father, we can find it in you, God. Restoration is in you. Deliverance is in you, God. There's healing in your house, God. And we have come into your house today, God. Some heavy laden, some with burdens they don't know what to do with, God. But you said to come and lay them down at the cross, God. For you have taken them. You have taken them all. And if we take them back, it's on us. But you said that we can give them to you, God. So all who are heavy laden and who have come into the house of the Lord, wherever you have come into the house of the Lord, be it here or be it somewhere else, lay your burdens down. Be obedient to the Lord and to the word of God and lay your burdens down. Lay your concerns down. Lay your confusion down. Lay your hurts and your pains down. Give them to the Savior. Give them to the Lord. Father, we thank you for all of who you are. We thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you are doing, God. For there's so many that are lost, God, but I thank you that we were once lost and now we have been found. Found in the grace and the power of you, God. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you that we were once blind, but now we can see you, God. You have given us spiritual sight to see who you are, God, and to know that there is a creator. And so, Father, we worship the creator and not the created. Father, we bless your name today. We come for no other reason but to bless your name. We come to lift you up and to magnify your holy name, God. We come to speak and proclaim your word today, God, over your people, God, those that you have brought into this house today, God. They come for something, God. So, Father, we ask that whatever they came for, they find it in you, God. Not in Pastor Mike and not in Pastor Sevi and not in Pastor Brian, but in you, God, that they came to see you, God. And they came to hear from you, God. And so, Father, we say speak to our hearts today, God. Speak to every place that needs to be touched by you, God. Speak to our hearts today, God. Speak to the lost. Speak to the lame. Speak to the blind, God. Speak today, God, that the healing would come forth in this house, God. Wherever you hurt, God can touch and he can heal. Wherever your emotions have been damaged, wherever you might be confused about life, life is in the word of God. Amen. So, Father, we ask now that the word of God would go forth. We know that it will accomplish the purpose that you send it out. Not the word of man, but the word of God. So, Father, we said your word, we send your word out, God, that it would fulfill the purpose that you send it out for. So, in this house, God, whatever the need is, the word of God will fix it. And you said that it will not return unto you void, and it will accomplish everything that you send it to do, God. So speak through Pastor Brian today, God. May they see you, Jesus, and not him. May they hear you, Jesus, and not him. May they hear the word of God, and then may they be quick to obey the word of God. Father, we thank you today for another opportunity to come into your house, to magnify your holy name, to lift up holy hands, to worship you. We thank you for another opportunity, God, and we bless your holy name today. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
For those that are able to stand, let us stand for our responsive scripture reading. This morning we will be reading responsibly from the book of Psalms. Psalm 2. I'll read my designated verses. If you'll read yours, and then together we will read verses 10 through 12. Amen?
Amen.
And the word of God reads, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.'
He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.'
I will tell of the decree, the Lord said to me. You are your son. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Together? Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Hallelujah. This is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise him.
Songs say, you know, the Bible teaches us that God gives us the desires of our heart.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I want to be all that he wants me to be.
Yes.
And I want to be all that he see me as.
Yes.
Because if I just dwell on me and be what I want to be,
yes,
it may not be what he want me
That's
to be.
Right. Right.
Because if I'm going to be what he wants me to be,
yes,
I'm a better me.
Yeah.
And then the world will see a better me because they see he in me.
Yeah.
They see my God in me.
Yes.
And then, like we can't let the light put it on the bushel,
right,
then they can see the light of God in me.
Yes.
Then we can just, with all those lights and being what God wants each and every one of us to be,
yes,
praise be to God.
Yes.
This is an awesome day. I don't know about you. I'm just happy to be in the midst of this good weather today.
Yes.
I am happy to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
I am happy to stand before you and say, I know she hear me in the spirit, but happy birthday, Ozama Beatrice Delaney.
Yes.
She's 80 years old today, and I say thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for each and every one of you. I ask you to continue to pray for me. It's been a struggle in the midnight hour up until this very point, and Elder Delaney can attest to that, amen? But I just thank God for her because we are here. So even in the midst of whatever it is, I got joy in my belly because I'm happy. It doesn't matter about what circumstances or crisis, and I'm not unhappy. I got joy, and I got peace because God is in me, and I know what the mighty God I serve. We're going to get here, but I'm going to just say thank you, Lord, one more time. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to stand before you. Thank you,
Lord,
for your grace and your tender mercies. Amen? Let us go to God in prayer. My Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day that you have made. Father God, we just give everything to you.
Yes, God.
All we are and all we have. Because, Father God, without you, we wouldn't have it anyway. My Heavenly Father, we bear all our burdens down on the cross and on the throne and give it to you. And we ask that you deal with it, Father God, in our lives for us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, O Lord God, that worketh and teaches us and comforts us, O God. We thank you for your presence, O God. We thank you, God, for your son, Jesus, We thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth and dying and being resurrection from the dead with all power, Father God. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, your long-suffering. In Jesus' name, my Heavenly Father, I ask and pray in the name of Jesus that you bless this word today.
Yes, Father.
Have your way, Father God. It's your word.
Yes.
Bless it, Lord God. My Heavenly Father, I stand before you, Father God, and your people in humility.
Yes,
and with humbleness, oh Lord,
yes,
God.
Yes,
and I thank you, Father God, and I pray that you use me. Let your spirit go forth.
Yes.
Let your word go forth.
Yes.
It's not my word. It's your word. It would not come back void. My Heavenly Father, we struggle today with situations, Father God. We are tossed to and fro at times, Father God. But I ask and pray in the name of Jesus that we grasp anything. If we grasp anything today, it is what we have that dwells in us, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That we can overcome all things, Father God. And I ask and pray in the name of Jesus that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God, be acceptable in thy sight.
Yes.
You're my strength, my strong tower, my refuge.
Yes.
And without you, oh God, I can do nothing.
Yes.
Keep me attached to the vine, oh God.
Yes.
Let
yes.
me remain, oh God,
yes.
in the vine.
Yes.
In Jesus' precious and holy name.
Yes.
We ask and pray and give you glory and honor.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
If you able, stand with me, please. And we're going to the book of Galatians. That's with a G, Galatians. Chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. Are we there?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And here begins the reading of God's holy word. And this is the King James translation. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yes, yes.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's etc. So there's some more. Of these of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit, that's not plural, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such thing there is no law. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Yes, amen.
This is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
Praise the Lord. So we're talking about a life according to the Spirit. Beginning of the passage said, Paul says, and this I say, walk in the Spirit. By the Spirit, keep on walking.
Yes,
but
yes.
What is walking?
Yes.
Walking is living, and it emphasizes an everyday contact with the Holy Spirit. Contact for daily decision makings and everything we do. Living according to the Spirit, then, should be a daily and a continuous action by us. He's always present, but we must be in touch with him and stay open to his guidance and also to his corrections. And when we do that, our sinful nature when we want to do that, our sinful nature wants to do everything that the sinful nature has that still exists in us. But see, we must never undermine the power of that sinful nature or that flesh. And we must never attempt to fight it in our own strength.
That's right.
For two reasons. You got Satan, he's a trickster, he's the tempter. And then you got ourselves, because when we fall into them traps, no one can make excuses for falling in them traps better than ourselves. Instead of trying to overcome sin by our own willpower, we got to take advantage of the power of Christ. Mm-hmm. See, God provides for the victory over that sinful nature. But our own ability is not to give in to that sinful nature, but it depends on if we're willing to live according to the Spirit. Now, for each believer, that's a daily process, and it's going to require a moment-by-moment decision.
Yes.
But what's the answer then of conquering the lust of the flesh? Walking in the presence and living in the power of the Holy Spirit keeps us from fulfilling the flesh. See, no person can have control over the lust of the flesh, not within himself.
That's right.
Why? Because the flesh fights for control and it wants to have dominance. So therefore, it'll lust against the Spirit. It'll struggle and fight to the control of the man or the woman. I'm not saying you have two people, you're not schizophrenic, but there's two things going on and one wants to be dominant over the other.
Yeah.
So you got the lust. What is lust? It means a yearning, a passion for. All of us know what it is to have flesh lusting after something.
That's right.
To have a desire to get hold of something.
That's right.
That flesh is strong and difficult to control. This is the reason why our only hope to control that flesh is the Spirit of God.
That's right.
One power must be resisted while we rely on the other. But if we rely in our own wisdom, we're going to make the wrong choices.
Amen.
Shall I do what the flesh say, obey the sinful nature, or do I obey the Spirit of God? Why put yourself through that and leave that choice up to you? In other words, just rely on Christ's strength for those daily decisions. Don't give in to sin, because if we do, it'll appear as if sin has grown, but it really hasn't. It only shows the weakness that we still have. See, sin's power is not an excuse for us to drift away spiritually from
That's right.
Jesus.
That's right.
Or openly give in to the temptation, just giving up saying, well, I can't fight it, so I might as well do it.
Yes.
We don't have to reach that point. See, we must not forget that we have already won, because like Scripture says, and it ought not be a cliche, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We always say phrases in Scripture like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. We can always say, well, we're going to let God fight my battle. We can always say, well, I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We just not have to say those things.
Yes, right.
We ought to believe it and walk it out on this earth. Amen?
Amen.
See, we got to know, therefore, and be renewed where? In the spirit of our mind.
Yes.
We got to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. See, the mind has to be renewed with the presence of Christ. See, the mind of Christ has to be in us. What does this mean? Well, that's the truth. And it's easily seen, because when a person receives Jesus Christ into his or her life, he receives the mind of Christ as well. Christ will place his mind in your mind. That is, Christ changes your mind to focus upon God, whereas your mind used to be on the world, it is now upon spiritual matters. Mind renewed, changed, turned around, regenerated to focus upon God. However, it's critical to remember that only Christ can renew that human mind. Only Christ can implant the mind of Christ within you. Only Christ can give a person his thoughts and the Spirit to live out his thoughts. Amen? Amen. Because see, now we got to live a transformed life. We got to walk every day renewing our mind. We have to allow the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to focus our mind on God and spiritual things. But let's note something. The flesh is contrary to the Spirit. See, the flesh is opposed to the Spirit. While we live in this world, we face constant tension between our old sinful nature and what the Holy Spirit wants. See, when we feel the constraint or restriction and the pressures between the flesh and the Holy Spirit, trust me, when that Spirit of God constrain and restrict you, letting you know, buddy, don't go that way, I'm in you. I got power. You have no reason to go that way. You know better than that. Get that out of your mind, because I am in you. I'm the Spirit of God. Why are you even tempting and playing with such a thing as where the flesh wants you to go? Amen. So with the power of that constraint is an awesome thing, and I thank God for it. Have to be obedient to it. Just can't brush it off. We have to experience and resist in opposition. Because when we also follow the Spirit's leading, trust me, Satan, who has a lot of practice, he wanna teach you how to rebel. Whatever direction we choose, we're gonna hear them whispers of oppositions. Go on and eat that apple. Didn't he not say a thing? You know, he wanna tempt you, and he's subtle with it. Whenever we set out to do what the Holy Spirit instructs us to do, we can expect that sinful nature to flare up inside us and oppose it. When we decide to share the gospel, that sinful nature said, hey, don't, you're going to feel foolish talking out there on that corner sharing the word of God. Don't listen to that. When we want to commit ourselves to some service for the Lord, the sinful nature try to prevent us. Don't listen to that. Trying to interfere with the leading of the Spirit. However, each time we follow that sinful nature, we will receive in our conscience or the word of God as reminders not to follow that sinful nature. Amen?
Amen.
Because you see, the flesh keeps a person from doing what he should. The flesh keeps a person from doing what he would. Every person has experienced the power of the flesh. Everyone has caved into the flesh and done something he did not want to do. He fought against it. He knew it would be hurtful, yet he did not resist the flesh. He gave in to the power of that sinful flesh and did it. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. And this is the Apostle Paul talking in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Paul says, for that which I do, I lie not. For what I would, that do I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. See, the fact of life here is at work. It's a reality that evil is within us. Even when we want to do what is right. In fact, it is when we most want to do good that we become most aware of those sinful tendencies in that behavior. We should consider and examine how well we understand our behavior, because as long as we live in this world as men and women of flesh and blood, we're going to face constant tension, the conflict between the sinful nature and the new spiritual life. See, the old sinful nature loves to do evil. It's the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. So they are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict.
That's right.
It's a mental battlefield. See, man has the ability to see what is good, but he's unable to do it. He can see what is wrong, but he cannot keep from doing it. There is no believer, no matter how advanced in his holiness, who cannot use the same language that Paul used. True, he may and does struggle against the power. He desires to be free from it, but despite all the efforts, find themselves under that influence. This is precisely the bondage of sin. Coming short of the glory of God, it could be loving the world, loving yourself, being too prideful, too slothful, not doing what one knows to be right and doing what one really hates. As one has said, this conflict between the flesh and the spirit continues in us so long as we live, in some more and others less. It's according to which principle is it the stronger. It is this consciousness that drives the believer to the awareness that deliverance is found where? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we see that the flesh fails. We see that it fails, and we feel condemned because Satan uses those past guilt and those present failures to make us question what Christ has done for us. See, our assurance must be focused on Christ, not on our performance. So no matter how we may feel, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because we have been rescued by Christ, we are not condemned. To belong to Christ means to have our faith in it, becoming a member of the body of believers. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into temptation, condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." We are told not to cleanse ourselves from the flesh, but from the lust of the flesh and from the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are the fruit of that indwelling sin. And sin originates in the heart, not in the flesh. The flesh in itself is not sinful. The flesh or the human body is given us by God for God to use. In fact, when a person is converted, turning from sin to Christ, his body becomes a temple for God to dwell in through the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
But see, now the sins of the flesh listed in that particular passage of Scripture, you can see them all throughout society. And they're not only seen in the daily newspaper in every city, but within every community.
Right.
Doesn't matter about your zip code.
Right.
They can be in your home, in your life, on everywhere on this planet Earth.
Right.
See, the presence of such fleshly sins shows just how strong the flesh is, and also how helpless man is to control that flesh, especially in this computer age with all that twixing and twaxing that people can do. See, we look at the different sins listed in 19 through 21. We're talking about sexual immorality.
Yes.
I didn't write it, you just read it, it's in the book.
Yes.
It says sexual immorality, that's any form of illicit sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The two serve to spotlight forbidden sexual behavior between people or indirect participation as an audience. Looking at impure thoughts, moral uncleanliness. Perhaps no sexual act has taken place, but the person showed enough thinking about it.
Yes.
You know, eagerness for lustful pleasure, open and excessive indulgence in sexual sins. So you got the sins of idolatry. A person creates substitutes for God, and then he treats them as if they were God. Participation in demonic activities. You're looking at the sins of hostility. That's a condition of a fixed enmity between groups of people. It may be real, unresolved conflict whose cause has been forgotten but which has yielded a bitterness. You're looking at quarreling, competition, rivalry, bitter conflict, jealousy, a feeling of resentment that someone else has what another feels he or she deserves.
Right.
Got them outbursts of anger, selfish anger. You know, you got people who approach life and work that tries to get ahead of other people at somebody else's expense. You know, you got the feeling of dissension created among people because of divisions. Envy, a desire to possess something awarded or achieved by somebody else. or even the twisted logic that cries, hey, that's unfair. That ought to be mine. You know, if I can't have it, they shouldn't either. That's envy. Looking at drunkenness, excessive use of wine, wild parties, drunken parties often filled with sexual promiscuity, were associated with festivals of some of them pagan gods, and all other kinds of sin. Paul added, etc. There's a whole lot going on.
Yes, yes.
But now, look at the fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It depends if you're Midwest or from the South. The fruit of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. See, now our job is to get in tune with the Spirit, right?
Amen.
Not because we work at it, but simply because the Holy Spirit controls our lives.
That's right.
See, the fruit of the Spirit separates believers from the world.
It reveals
a power within you and helps us to become more Christ-like in our daily living. In contrast to the previous list we talked about, those things reside in us. The fruit is the result of the Spirit's present in us. Amen?
Yes.
Again, the characteristics fall into some categories. You have love, joy. That's an inner rejoicing that abides in you despite your circumstances. You got peace. That's an inner quietness and trust in God's sovereignty and His justice. You got patience. Patiently putting up with people who continually irritate you. The Holy Spirit is working us to increase our endurance in them areas. See, kindness, acting charitably toward others as God did toward us. Goodness, reaching out to do good to others, even if they don't deserve it. Faithfulness, that's trustworthiness. Gentleness, that's humility, considerate of others, submissive to God and His word. Self-control. That's a mastery over your sinful human desire and the lack of restraining. You want them sinful desires to be under control.
Yes.
Not controlling you, because they'll lead you back into slavery. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. God is good. See, people who habitually exhibit those fleshly characteristics, what they do is reveal themselves to be enslaved to that sinful human nature. So they cannot have any part, the scripture says, in the inheritance in the kingdom of God, because God is righteous. We must live a righteous life in order to be accepted by Him.
That's right.
This does not mean that believers who lapse into any of those sins will lose their salvation or their inheritance. People who have accepted Christ and have the Holy Spirit within them will manifest a new life, but they got to make a clean break from that sin. See, in fact, Galatians 5:24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts.
Yes.
So the believer is to walk bearing a crucified life.
Yes.
But it says they that are Christ. To be crucified with Christ means that we no longer live in the flesh. We cannot live apart from the flesh. We are in the body on this earth, but we are free from living after the flesh. We no longer follow the passions and lusts of the flesh. We desire and follow righteousness, seeking to please God in everything we do. We relinquish, give up that old life and turn to Christ for His life. That self-centered, self-now person becomes a Christ-centered person. My old life, our old life, our old goals and plans, even old relationships were nailed to the cross with Christ. We live in these bodies that are prone to sin while we're on earth, but Christ is in charge. We are new creations living by faith, but this faith is an attitude. Has to be a lifestyle. Finally, as we walk consistently with this position in Christ, Scripture says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
So the bottom line here is that those who are saved by grace and are walking in the Spirit will reflect the fruit of the Spirit in their lives.
Yes.
We are no longer what we were, but we are now a new creature in the Lord Jesus. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Therefore, we ought to walk in the Spirit. We are not to live just as the Spirit of God direct. We live by the Spirit. Let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us walk and live out the life that Christ gives us. Amen?
Amen.
Food for thought, spiritual thought. I think we all need to maybe perhaps examine ourselves today. I mean, can we take an honest inventory and truly say, I have been changed? I am not perfect, but I'm different. I don't think like I used to think. I don't act the same. I want to honor God now, where I used to want to honor myself. I can see where Jesus has made a difference in my life. Has your life been changed? If it has, thank God, because only He can produce that spiritual change. If not, it can be changed if you will come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. My Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this day. Father God, I just thank you, Father God, for your Spirit that dwells in us and provide all we need, letting us know in remembrance through the Holy Spirit that we can conquer all things through you, Christ Jesus. My Heavenly Father, there may be someone listening or handed a copy of this CD or maybe sitting here now, who knows, that has never given their life to you, Father God, and want to just give their life to you, Father God.
Yes.
Is there anyone here that has not given their life to Christ? Now is an opportunity. You can signify that by raising your hand. Amen. Praise to God. Repeat this message if you're listening on the CD. Repentance prayer. Father, I know that I have broken your laws and my sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry and repent. And now I want to turn away from my past sinful life toward you. Please forgive me and help me avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.